From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled The Root of Failure and the Key to Victory. In Joshua chapter 6, Israel had just enjoyed a remarkable victory over the city of Jericho. Yet in the very next chapter, we find the same army suffering a humiliating defeat at the hands of the inhabitants of the city of Ai. Shocked by this turn of events, Joshua cries out to God as to the reason. The Lord gives a terse answer. There is sin in the camp. As we'll see in the course of this message, the Christian's attitude toward sin is the key either to victory or to defeat. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 22. There fell down many slain, because the war was of God. Warrior fighting under the banner of the Lord Jesus, observe this verse with holy joy. For as it was in the days of old, so is it now. If the war be of God, the victory is sure. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh could barely muster 45,000 fighting men, and yet in their war with the Hagarites they slew men 100,000, for they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them, because they put their trust in Him. The Lord saveth not by many nor by few. It is ours to go forth in Jehovah's name, if we be but a handful of men, for the Lord of hosts is with us for our captain. They did not neglect buckler and sword and bow, neither did they place their trust in these weapons. We must use all fitting means, but our confidence must rest in the Lord alone, for He is the sword and the shield of His people. The great reason of their extraordinary success lay in the fact that the war was of God. Beloved, in fighting with sin without and within, with error doctrinal or practical, with spiritual wickedness in high places or low places, with the devils and the devil's allies, you are waging Jehovah's war, and unless He Himself can be worsted, you need not fear defeat. Quail not before superior numbers, shrink not from difficulties or impossibilities, flinch not at wounds or death. Smite with the two-edged sword of the Spirit, and the slain shall lie in heaps. The battle is the Lord's, and He will deliver His enemies into our hands. With steadfast foot, strong hand, dauntless heart, and flaming zeal, rush to the conflict, and the hosts of evil shall fly like chaff before the gale. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Men of God, arise, let us praise the King together. Men of God, arise, let us praise His holy name. For His wondrous power within, for His power to cleanse from sin, for His power to take alive and make it whole again. We are called to spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We've a story to give to our nation, to bring them the message of salvation. We'll work and walk.
judge and fight and pray. O men of God, arise. Men of God, arise, for he comes to claim his children. Men of God, arise, for he calleth in the sky. We know not the day or hour that he'll come in glorious power. We must go and spread the news that he will come again. We are called to spread the gospel story. Gospel story, let our banner be unfurled. We'll tell the wonderful story of the Christ who sets men free. Men of God, arise and proclaim liberty.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week. Thank you.
We're returning to the book of Joshua this morning, and chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I suppose if one verse could be taken to sum up the entire teaching of this chapter of the book of Joshua, it would be in verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. There's an accursed thing among you. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. The period following Joshua's assumption of the leadership of Israel until the fall of the city of Jericho was one of unqualified success, both for him and for the entire people of Israel. The presence of the Lord among them was very real. The spiritual preparedness and the military preparedness of the people were complete for their assault upon the promised land. The manifestations of the Lord's power and of the Lord's favor amongst his people flowed unhindered. Things could hardly have been better for Joshua and for the children of Israel than they were at that period of time. It appeared that there was absolutely nothing that could hinder, much less stop, Israel's speedy conquest of the entire land of Canaan. Things were going well. And then disaster struck. After conquering Jericho, Israel sent agents out to report upon the next obstacle that lay in their pathway. That next obstacle was the relatively insignificant town of Ai. It would pose very little difficulty for the victorious armies of Israel. And so these agents said, send no more than, say, 3,000 soldiers. Don't bother all the people. Don't make the whole army labor. 3,000 men will be enough to look after that little place. But they found out that Ai was not quite so insignificant as they thought. First of all, it was not so small. And instead of being able to field a very paltry little army, they could turn out 12,000 seasoned warriors. And the 12,000 men of Ai chased the 3,000 Israeli attackers and killed 36 of them. If the fall of Jericho had filled the children of Israel with confidence and sent shivers of apprehension through the cities of Canaan, undoubtedly the success of the men of Ai threw the Jews into a fit of depression and must have engendered great hope in all the fainting hearts in the other cities and kingdoms of the land of Canaan. Joshua was naturally devastated. And as a man of God, when he was devastated, he went before the Lord. We have read this morning how he cried, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people into this land over Jordan in order to destroy them?" Then he said, "Lord, what will I say when Israel turns her back upon her enemies? What will I say when the armies of God are a laughingstock? What will I say when the name of Jehovah is mocked in the name of heathen deities? What's going to happen? How did we ever get here? Why did we ever come here?" He was lamenting before the Lord. The Lord's answer was peremptory. He said to Joshua, if you look at verse 10 through 12, get thee up. Now that was a very abrupt way of speaking. Joshua was on his face before God. God says, Joshua, get up. Why are you lying in your face before me? There's no great secret about this. Israel has sinned. Israel has taken of the accursed thing. She has dissembled and hidden this cursed thing in the midst of the camp. As we read, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Someone had flaunted the very plain command of the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 6, before Jericho was taken, the Lord had given a very clear, unmistakable command. In verse 17 and following, He said that the city shall be accursed. The word accursed carries the force of devoted to God. In this case, it's devoted to destruction. But He says it's accursed, and all that are therein, with the exception of Rahab and her family, will be saved. And He says in verse 18, ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and the camp of Israel, you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. The silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They come into the treasury of the Lord. I don't want to get off on a tangent there. But Israel had to learn, first of all, obedience to God. Second, she had to learn that the first fruit of her conquest in the promised land, coming as it did from the hand of God, was the Lord's. She had to learn to live not by lust, but by faith. All these things were embedded in this very clear commandment of God. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. If you take the accursed thing, you will curse yourself, you will curse the camp, you will trouble the nation, you will bring down the displeasure of the Lord. Now the whole army of Israel went into battle at Jericho with that in mind. That was ringing in the ears of every soldier. That was something that was so solemn, and it was so embedded in their conscience, that not one soldier of all the tribes of Israel laid his hand on any of the accursed thing, with the exception of one man, and that man was Achan. The Lord made it clear that until the perpetrator was dealt with, there would be and there could be no victory. We have read this morning how Joshua set about the task of discovering his identity. At last he obtained from Achan a confession. I have done it. And he executed him and all who had connived with him. And I say all who had connived with him, because it was impossible that he could do all this in the family quarters without their knowledge. The law of God is that the children will not die for the sins of the parents, and the parents will not die for the sins of the children. In this case, the family was visited with judgment because the family was corrupted by the father's sin. So the judgment was executed upon them. And when that was done, then the children of Israel, if you read on in the next chapter, attacked Ai and fully conquered it. Now, in Joshua chapter 7, what we have is the record of a very important and far-reaching lesson that the Lord taught the children of Israel. He taught them that they had suffered defeat at Ai because of unjudged sin, and that they could only regain the blessing of God upon which their victory depended as that sin was exposed and judged by them. Now, we should pay close attention to that lesson. Time has not negated it. Time has not dimmed it. Time has not weakened it. The lesson is abundantly plain to us. Touch not the accursed thing. There's a call here to personal and corporate separation on the part of the people of God. Touch not the accursed thing. If you touch that which is accursed and unclean, you will bring upon yourself great spiritual loss, and you'll bring upon your family great spiritual loss, and you'll bring upon the work of God and the testimony of Christ great spiritual loss. Touch not the accursed thing. While you touch it, there can be no victory. There can be no blessing. There can be no enjoyment of the fullness of Christ. And until you judge it, that's the situation that will continue. You see, our attitude to sin is a key to our defeat or to our victory in the work of God. Our attitude to sin. Now, I realize that that's a very old-fashioned outlook. When I say that sin is the cause of failure, I don't mean just the presence of any sin. After all, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Any man who thinks that he has no sin is only saying that he's so far from God that his conscience is dulled and he doesn't understand the standards of the Word of God. In the camp of Israel, there were undoubtedly all the usual feelings. But only one sin could cause the failure that Israel had. See, what I'm talking about when I say sin is the cause of failure, it's usually gross sin or deliberate, willful, or usually for most of us, persistent sin. Take a look at Achan's sin. It was colossal. It was complex. It contains all the elements of most of the types of sin that damage or destroy a Christian's work and witness. First of all, it was deliberate disobedience. God said, "Thou shalt not," and he did. Deliberate disobedience. Let me tell you, my friend, deliberate disobedience is altogether rampant among professing Christians today. When a man knows to do right and doesn't do it, it is sin. The Scripture is clear and plain and unmistakable. We have clear commands in the Word of God. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And when Christians fly in the face of the clear commands of God's Word, they need not then throw up their hands in mock horror or get before God as Joshua did and say, "Lord, what is happening? Why have we lost the blessing? Why are we out of touch with God? Why is our life not amounting to anything?" If you're living in disobedience before God and you know it, then, my friend, while you live in disobedience, things are not going to change.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.